This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines, and we begin with healthcare, which has roared back to the front burner here in Washington. On Monday, the White House releasing the president's prescription for healthcare reform legislation. That as versions in the House and Senate remain stalled and apparently irreconcilable on their own. The plan now, according to many sources in the White House as well as Democratic leadership offices up on Capitol Hill, is that there will be a major push for the House to adopt the Senate version of the plan, since there's no hope of the Senate getting 60 votes again to pass anything. And then they'll have some more legislation that will be used through the reconciliation process, meaning it's a budgetary measure and a filibuster would not apply. Republicans not impressed at all with what they've seen from the president's plan, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's look at a few of the details. First of all, the price tag on this over 10 years, $1 trillion, which is $100 billion more than the president himself set as the cost limit a few months ago when he set it at $900 billion over 10 years. The biggest change, which was not included in either the House or Senate bill, would be the president giving the government the power to reverse or at least limit increases in the price of insurance premiums. We'll talk about the importance of that in a minute as well. Republican ideas have been included, according to the White House, to cut waste, fraud, and abuse from Medicare. Also, according to the president's version, there will be no government-run public option. There will be significant tax increases as a result of this legislation, but the president says they won't kick in now until 2018. And as upset as some liberals may be about the lack of a government-run public option, they will be happy to hear that there would be no tax on Cadillac plans for union members. Others with the high-value plans, not so good of a deal. We have plenty of analysis on this at worldnetdaily.com as well as dateline.radioamerica.org. Head there now and catch these interviews. First of all, Grace Marie Turner, who's been all over this issue since well before the debate on the Clinton version of health care reform. She says this version of health care reform posed by the president just shows that this administration is devoid of ideas when it comes to this issue. She will explain why, in fact, this will hurt the doctor-patient control over the healthcare system, and why it's just a bigger government grab than ever. We'll also talk with Ryan Ellis. He's the director of tax policy at Americans for Tax Reform. He says right now, if everything stays the way the president wants it, we'd be looking at $629 billion in new taxes over the next 10 years. He also says that if you think it's going to be fun to soak the rich on Cadillac insurance plans, wipe that smile off your face because you're probably going to have one, since the government will mandate that you have coverage and will mandate what that coverage includes. He says the whole design there is to make sure just about everybody has the Cadillac health plan and that they can be taxed to a great extent. He also says the details of the president's plan declare war on health savings accounts in order to give the government more control over the health care system and other areas of our lives. Colorado Congressman Doug Lamborn, a Republican in his second term, says there's nothing new here. The president is just, and this is Lamborn's words, regurgitating what we already saw in the House and Senate. He says he does not see a move towards bipartisanship on the part of the president at all. Again, all three of those interviews available at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. House Republican leader John Boehner also wasting no words as he came out very harshly against the president's plan, saying, quote, "The president has crippled the credibility of this week's summit by proposing the same massive government takeover of health care based on a partisan bill the American people have already rejected." He goes on to say, quote, "This new Democrats-only backroom deal doubles down on the same failed approach that will drive up premiums, destroy jobs, raise taxes, and slash Medicare benefits." He says this week's summit clearly has all the makings of a Democratic infomercial for continuing on a partisan course that relies on more backroom deals and parliamentary tricks to circumvent the will of the American people and jam through a massive government takeover of health care. Some bad news for the president today concerning his approval ratings. According to the latest Rasmussen survey, the president's overall approval rating stands at just 45%. Even worse than that, those who strongly disapprove nearly double those who strongly approve, with 41% of Americans saying they strongly disapprove of the president's performance and just 22% saying they strongly approve. More bad news for those pushing the contention that man is causing global warming around the globe. It's the latest in a series of dominoes to fall that is casting a great deal of doubt on the whole underpinning of the movement. First, as you'll recall, was the Climate Gate involving the Climate Research Unit at East Anglia in England about falsified data and making pariahs of those who disagreed with the movement. Then, of course, there was the retraction that we could see the melting entirely of the glaciers in the Himalayas within just a couple of decades. Following that, just days ago, we found out that Phil Jones, the head of the climate research unit, said that there hasn't really been any global warming since 1995. And now another critical report is being withdrawn, this one suggesting rising sea levels as a result of climate change. More on this as more evidence comes in, as well as just on the overall debate as it warrants. On to the war on terror now, and terrorism suspect Najibullah Zazi on Monday pleading guilty to conspiring to detonate explosives here in the United States. In an appearance today before a federal judge in the Big Apple, the 24-year-old Zazi says, quote, "In spring 2008, I conspired with others to join the Taliban to fight along with the Taliban against the United States," unquote. Zazi then pleaded guilty to three counts, conspiring to use weapons of mass destruction, conspiracy to commit murder in a foreign country, and providing material support to a terrorist organization. You may remember he was arrested back in September as part of a plot to build and explode bombs in and around New York City around the 9/11 anniversary. Federal officials have said the conspiracy involving Zazi represents the most serious terror plot since 9/11, and the investigation is still not over yet. Zazi says he intended to strike more than one subway target in New York City. The U.S. commander in Afghanistan is apologizing to the Afghan people for an airstrike that unfortunately killed 27 civilians. Commanders had ordered a daylight NATO airstrike because they had specific intelligence that a group of Taliban in vehicles was heading towards coalition forces on the ground. However, they were not Taliban forces, but rather civilians, with local Afghan officials calling the attack unjustifiable. McChrystal, who also spoke with President Hamid Karzai, says, quote, "We are extremely saddened by the tragic loss of innocent lives." He goes on to say, quote, "I have made it clear to our forces that we are here to protect the Afghan people, and inadvertently killing or injuring civilians undermines their trust and confidence in our mission. We will redouble our efforts to regain that trust." Back to the political front for a moment now, and former longtime Kansas senator and three-time presidential candidate Bob Dole is apparently on the mend, but still at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center after a recent bout with pneumonia and surgery on his knee. According to officials at the hospital and sources within the Dole camp, that he is definitely on the mend and is already making calls from his hospital bed on behalf of the clients for his law firm. So our best wishes go out to Senator Bob Dole. And, of course, as you probably heard over the weekend, a former White House chief of staff, former Secretary of State Alexander Haig, passing away early Saturday morning at the Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore at the age of 85. Due to an infection. Haig was also a presidential candidate in his own right in 1988, a campaign that also featured Senator Dole. And on a much lighter note, it's been 30 years.
Liga Legionov gets set by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable. 30 years ago today, February 22nd, 1980, the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. The United States doing the impossible with a team full of college kids beating the Soviet professionals on their way, not in that game, but on their way to the gold medal in those Olympics. It's now known as the Miracle on Ice, and it's hard to remember the exact climate at the time, but with Soviet aggression, as well as the onset of the Iranian hostage crisis, the U.S. gold medal win over the Soviets provided a badly needed morale boost and is still considered one of the most important athletic achievements by the U.S. in that Olympics or any Olympics throughout our history. That's a look at Monday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.